I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Morning, Doc. How was your weekend?
It was great. You know, I'm kind of getting tired of cold weather, but it was nice. How about yours?
Yeah, it was fine. Busy. But, you know, if 25 is the extent of our winter with a dusting, that's fine. I'll take that.
Yeah, no kidding. I guess we've only shoveled, what, twice this year? So not bad.
No. No, but Jacksonville, Florida has had more of a winter than we have had, so we're fine.
Yeah.
All right, I want to talk about how to be a good patient and how to be an effective patient. Before we get to that, though, several times on this show, you and I have had discussions, usually on a Monday, but sometimes other parts of the week, because a celebrity has taken ill or gone through a health scare. The reason we do this is what, Doc?
It's, for us, it's actually awareness. It's not to sensationalize the individual who has the disease, but for us, it's awareness of that illness. And if we can educate people a little bit about the illness and about screening and about the importance of screening, then I think the good things come of it. You know, it's not to say, oh my gosh, guess what so-and-so has, but let's talk about the disease. Let's talk about what we could do to prevent it, or let's talk to what we can do about screening it so that we can treat it easier.
And this brings us to a discussion of Erin Andrews. Erin Andrews has had quite a couple of years, along with all of her professional success, stalked and had naked pictures of her thrown all over the internet. And as you know, once they're out there, you can't get them back. She won that court case, but in the meantime, had other tragedies going on in her inner circle, including the death by in a car crash of her fiance's nephew that was buttressed up against some sketchy medical tests that she got a call from her doctor and found out she had cervical cancer, which I didn't even know till I read the story.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, for her having cervical cancer, it just shows the importance of screening. And, you know, the story with her was, boy, she had cervical cancer, she had surgery, and she was back working 5 days later. And it's not about that. It's not about how strong of a woman she is. And believe me, she is a very strong woman to be able to do that. But really, it's about the importance of screening for cervical cancer, because we know it's a cancer that if the screening is done appropriately and cells are found early on that are precancerous, this is a cancer that can be 100% cured.
And you're not out of the woods, Doc, right, if you've had an organ removed, say the cervix itself, or maybe a hysterectomy, correct? I mean, you're still at risk.
Well, you're not as at much risk. If you have the if you have a hysterectomy where the cervix is removed, there still is a portion of cells that need to be treated and need to be monitored, but your chance drops down dramatically because with the actual cells where we're looking for that have essentially been removed from your body. But that being said, it's still always good to get back in there because there is an area there that the doctor should look at all the time, you know, every 3 years to make sure that there's nothing else going on.
So what is the message in regards to testing? What's the baseline testing age?
Yeah, the baseline testing age for cervical cancer is 21. And if you have a normal test, then it's every 3 years. If you have abnormal tests, they're going to do some additional screening. They're going to possibly even do some additional treatment to stop some of those precancerous cells from becoming cancer. And then the other big thing, Steve, is that we have the HPV vaccine right now. And, you know, all parents should get that HPV vaccine for their children, you know, before the age of 12, to be honest with you.
All right, let's go to those who have cervix. Let's go to the cervix community here on the show. Have you been tested?
I have not.
What are you waiting for?
No, I absolutely should. I mean, I go every year for my yearly exam, which I'm actually late for this year. But I mean, I go for the mammograms. But I guess that's my question. I didn't really know about that. I thought it was just for younger kids in the preventative stages. I mean, am I too old to get the vaccine, Doc?
You're too old to get the vaccine, yes.
Okay.
They won't give you the vaccine. But, you know, anybody, because really HPV is a sexually transmitted disease. I hate to say it that way, but it is, unfortunately. And really, once the virus is there, it's going to stay there. It's not going to go away, and the vaccine is not going to prevent that from going away.
However, you should be tested, right?
Right.
Absolutely. You know, anybody really from the age of 21 on should be having pap smears every 3 years, like I said, unless you see that the doctor sees some abnormal cells, and he's going to do some additional testing, and he might shorten that up, and he might say, you know what, I want you back in a year to have another test done.
I'm sure you're having those, Andrea, though.
Yeah.
So that covers that.
Yeah.
Pap smear is where...
Listen, I don't believe you're a doctor. I don't believe you're what you said. Mary Vandeveld, let's go to your cervix. Have you been tested?
Yes, I believe I was just the doctor a couple weeks ago, so I guess I was tested. She didn't say, but I would assume I was, right, Doc, if I had a pap smear?
Yes, if you had a pap smear, then you were tested. And then
Sandberg, you all papped up?
Oh, that's not nice. Yes. And my stepdaughter got the vaccine.
How old?
She's 12. Well, she's going to be 13 in a month, but she got it this year before school started, and she FaceTimed us after, like, and we asked how her doctor's appointment was. It was me and my husband, her dad, and she said to him very proudly, I got the HPV vaccine, and it's to prevent me from getting cervical cancer if I get any STDs later on. And he, freaked out.
And then Pat had a grabber.
His head starts spinning
around. That's my
around.
Old girl.
Yeah.
But, you know what, though? Girls, I mean,
I'm impressed that she was able to own your body, you know? And
take your daughter to the gynecologist, to the doctor. I mean, really.
Well, this was her pediatrician, but yeah, she didn't.
This should be a new holiday. Take your daughter to the gynecologist.
Teenage years? No, really, because I know people who waited, including me.
Well, last word on this, Doc, before we come back and talk about how to be a good patient when you get the paper on the thing stuck to your butt in the doctor's office while you're waiting. Dr. Kevin Mose from Northwestern Medicine. Making people better by making medicine better. Hey, Doc, one other thing. Andre was just talking about this off the air. Superintendent Eddie Johnson, who nearly collapsed at a police briefing the other day.
Yep.
The kidney disease portion of this is a longer discussion, which we can take up next week or down the road. But he referenced a couple of times taking blood pressure medicine on an empty stomach leading to his fainting spell. Does that all make sense?
Well, it can make sense. You know, it's more about that the kidney is so important in monitoring our blood pressure and helping us with our blood pressure. So whether he took it on an empty stomach and it got absorbed too quickly, some medications you want to take with food, others you want to take on an empty stomach. So it really varies depending on the medication. But it's probably more important is, does his dose need to be monitored? Does the dose need to be changed? Because, you know, he obviously got a little lightheaded, which can often be a sign that his blood pressure had dropped a little bit. So it's the medication. It's a very important that you know on your medication whether it should be taken on a full stomach, on an empty stomach, an hour before meals, an hour after. Can be very confusing, but you should have had that education from your doctor or the pharmacy with any medication.
Let's go to the paper on the bench. What is it? The bench? What do they call that thing in the doctor's office? You know, the paper thing that goes over. What do we call the place where we lay down?
The examining table?
The table?
Yeah, exam
the table?
Tables or carts, yeah.
Yeah, the table, cart, okay.
And they do change the paper, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah, it always sticks to me. It always sticks to your butt. Yeah. Anyway, that's not the important part of this segment. The important part is how do we get more out of the doctor's visit? Now, I like to go through the drawers and play with the tongue depressors before the doctor comes in. Is that a good idea?
We know you all do that. So, I mean, there's not anything in those rooms that's any secret, but we know that you're doing that because we have magazines that are 2 years old. You've already read those, so of course you have to do something.
So technically you're actually encouraging it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So, like, if you walk in and I have a stethoscope on and I'm running my own vitals, is that probably not a way to go?
Yeah, that's probably not the best. And, that's one thing I would say is we sometimes cringe and we have kids running around the room pulling on some of that equipment. We're like, do you know how much that stuff costs? please don't do that.
The in-office visit's about to go up. But in a limited amount of time, what you don't want is the patient walking out to the car going, oh, I should have asked this, I should have asked that. So what do you want us doing to get more out of the visit?
Well, to prepare for a doctor's meeting is more important or is more than just, okay, if I leave the office at this time, I'll be at the doctor's appointment at the right time.
Right.
You need to prepare in advance. What we really like is patients who keep track of all their medications. I went to a specialist. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I went to a specialist. Here's the medicine. Would you please make sure that goes in your record? But more importantly, any questions, any concerns, any thoughts that you have about your health, this is your opportunity face-to-face to ask them. Because if you don't, you're going to run back to some guy in the office and ask him, or you're going to go on the internet. But get it from the expert that's right in front of you. You're paying for that service.
What is something that, while you're sitting there, helps the actual appointment, other than just listening and going, and not absorbing any of it.
Yeah, it is. You have to question throughout the exam. You have to question throughout the whole experience. So, you know, I always tell people, write all your questions down and write them down. It might be a month before you're at the doctor's office. You say, you know what? Gosh, this my foot hurts. I wonder what, you know, and it hurts when I do this. Write all these questions down. And I always tell people, make two copies. Give one to the nurse right when you're walking in, because the nurses are a great source of information, can often dispel many of your questions right away. But it also then allows the nurse to give it to the doctor and say, hey, Mr. Cochran has these questions, so that before you even walk in the room as a physician, I have an idea of where your concerns are, and I can address those as I'm going through my exam.
So, Doc, when you walk in and then the nurse comes in and you tell her everything that's wrong and then the doctor comes back in, do you have to tell him everything that's wrong again too? Or has she already told him in that little hallway conversation?
Well, she's told him in that hallway conversation, and fortunately right now, or unfortunately, depending how you look at it, we have the computers now. So actually, like I'll see patients tomorrow. As the nurse is putting information into the computer, I'm standing outside reading it in real time.
Oh, really?
Yep. Now, I will tell you that I can't tell you how many times I've walked out after seeing a patient and the nurse said, he said what? He didn't tell me that. He never told me that. He didn't say that. So we often get a different history as a physician than the nurses do. And it's because people sometimes are embarrassed to tell a nurse something, and they might feel more confident telling a doctor. Or we might ask more probing questions because we're with them for a longer period of time than the nurse is.
Listen, there's nothing comfortable about being a 55-year-old guy telling a 30-year-old nurse about something that's personal. But a long time ago, I got comfortable with the idea that there's nothing I could say to a nurse that they haven't heard before. They're just doing their job, right?
Absolutely. When you think of the individuals that are caring for you in most offices, physicians, they've been in school anywhere from 20 to 25 years. And believe me, if they've been in practice for 5, 6, 7, 10 years, they've heard every question. Nurses, the exact same thing. They're highly educated, and they have heard everything. Even if we snicker a little bit, it's not because we're laughing at you. It's because, you know what? We've heard that before, and, you know, it's a common question. Let me tell you why you have that concern. So don't be afraid to ask, because nothing worse. Like then you said, you get in the car and say, wow, I wish I would ask this. Well, you missed your opportunity.
And one last thing, because we're going to run out of time here. Before you leave, talk to the insurance people in the office about any insurance questions you have. It's probably not the person at the front desk, though, right? Who do you ask for?
No, it's usually the manager. There's a practice manager that will know more about your insurance than anybody. Physicians, I have to be totally honest with you. When I walk into a room, I have no clue what kind of insurance people have.
Yeah.
So it's important that you know and know what your deductible is and know where your costs are. That being said, if you have a concern about costs of medication, definitely bring it up to the doctor. Say, hey, you know, last time I was in, I went to the pharmacy and I got my new statin drug and it was $128. Is there an option? And he'll look at it and go, oh my gosh, you know, I apologize for that. We could put you on the generic and it's now going to be $10.
Right. And you know that, and you've got to advocate for yourself. I like to ask the doctor before I leave, hey, can I have any free stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
You got it. Talk to you soon.